Welcome to A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. I'm Mike Papali, and I'm the president and founder of In a Heartbeat, a nonprofit organization with a mission to prevent death from sudden cardiac arrest. I went into sudden cardiac arrest at age 17 and have been living with heart disease for over a decade. This podcast will dissect the physical and emotional obstacles of living with heart disease and how to overcome them. I am inviting you to join me on my personal journey of living as a heart disease patient. The ultimate goal of this podcast is to help heart disease patients of all ages live a long and normal life. Welcome everyone to the next episode of A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. A Big Heart is powered by In a Heartbeat. In a Heartbeat is a nonprofit organization with the mission to prevent death from sudden cardiac arrest. This is done by donating AEDs, providing CPR and AED training, raising money for research projects, providing support to patients, and offering free ECGs to children, teens, and young adults. To learn more about In a Heartbeat, visit www.inaheartbeat.org. All right, podcast listeners, we are back, and as promised, we do not have a two-month delay between episodes. We are back. Last week, we talked about advocating for your own health. I strongly encourage you to listen to that episode if you have not done so already, because I truly believe it is crucial to your long-term quality of life, advocating for your own health. So take some time. It's a really quick 15, 16-minute episode, and just think about some of the things that we talked about there. This week, I think we have a really popular topic to talk about when it comes to living with heart disease, and that is exercise. So in this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about my personal journey with exercise. And before I do that, I want to say that this is different for everyone. And you're going to hear me say this a lot probably throughout the episode, but it's really important to listen to your body and do it as safe and best for you. Because again, everybody's different. Everybody's diagnosis is a little different. Everybody's prognosis is different. It's really important to understand that. Again, in this episode, I'm going to talk about my personal journey. And although I think a lot of people will be able to relate to it, it does not necessarily mean it is the best thing for you. So first of all, to me, exercise is very, very important for a lot of reasons. And not because I need to look in the mirror and be absolutely ripped and in love with, my muscles and how everything's looking, but it's important because number one, it's obviously healthy to get your heart rate up, and to sweat a little bit and to work out. And mentally, I think it helps, ease stress and kind of take a break from the day-to-day things that you have going on in your life. And I think it just builds confidence. And I don't think, again, that doesn't mean, you look in the mirror and you think you should be on the cover of a magazine, but it builds confidence. When I work out, I feel good about myself. My body feels loose. I feel healthy. And I just feel good. I feel like I have more energy. So growing up before my sudden cardiac arrest, I worked out like a maniac. I was a basketball player. I was training at a really high level with the goal to be recruited to play in college, which was starting to happen before my cardiac arrest. I was starting to get recruited, and I was putting myself in a position to, achieve my ultimate life goal, which was to play basketball in college. So therefore, when it came to working out, I was pushing myself to a point where I physically couldn't go anymore because, quote unquote, that is what I was supposed to do. And any sort of symptom that maybe I had then, I don't really remember any of them, but I probably ignored it because I said, okay, I'm sweating a little extra today, but that's how I'm supposed to feel, or I feel really weak, or, you know, whatever. And I think a lot of athletes do that. You ignore the symptoms because, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be feeling if I'm training as hard as I, you know, am supposed to be training. So then fast forward to my sudden cardiac arrest. You know, I'm in the best shape of my life. I feel great about myself. I'm getting recruited to play basketball in college. Then all of a sudden, August 24th, 2006, I'm 17 years old, and I go into sudden cardiac arrest. Spend 2 weeks in the hospital, and I come home, and I am petrified. I am afraid to work out at all. So I stop exercising completely. I don't go on walks. I don't go on runs. I don't do any sort of weightlifting. I probably didn't sweat for weeks because, again, I was afraid. I was afraid that I was going to go into sudden cardiac arrest again. I was afraid that my ICD was going to shock me by mistake. I was afraid that ultimately I could die if I worked out. I could go into cardiac arrest, my ICD might not work, and nobody would be there to help me. So in order to live with those fears, I just did nothing, which was not healthy, because I started to gain weight. I started to hate the way I looked. I started to turn down invitations to go hang out at the pool or go to the beach with my friends because I felt terrible about myself. So what made me decide, okay, I need to figure this out. I need to make a change. I can't live like this forever. Well, the weight gain, the loss of confidence, and hating the way I look certainly had a big thing to do with it. So I went to my doctor, and, you know, again, in the last episode, we talked about advocating for your own health. I went to my doctor, who I had built up a trust with, and I said, okay, this is how I'm feeling. What can I do? How do I get back? And she suggested I start cardiac rehab. And I'm going to talk about my cardiac rehab experience because 17-year-old Mike absolutely hated it, thought it was the dumbest thing ever, didn't think I belonged there. Grown-up 32-year-old Mike looks back and appreciates how much it helped me. So my first day at cardiac rehab, I showed up. I was 17, walked in, treadmills, weights. Okay, this looks like the gym. I can do this. The nurse, you know, greets me, puts me on the treadmill, and I'm walking, and I think the speed was at like 2. So I'm walking at like a pace that, you know, the machine was barely moving. So I'm like, okay, I'm just getting a little warm up in here. This is fine. Then I ask her, okay, can I move it up? And she says, no, we're going to start with this. And nothing against people that are older, but I look to my right, and the guy next to me was in his 60s. I look to my left, the woman on my left was in her 70s, and I was 17 years old. And I hated it. I was miserable, thought there's no way this could be my life. After we were on the treadmill, she brought me over to the free weights, the dumbbells, and I was kind of excited. I get to lift some weights, and she puts 5-pound dumbbells in my hand. 5 pounds. And I'm like, okay, this is just awful. Okay, you know, months ago, at this point, I was, again, training to play basketball in college. I was lifting heavy, heavy, heavy weight. So I stick with it, of course, because, you know, I knew I needed to make a change. And I went through the cardiac rehab program. And by the end of it, I said, okay, I'm confident that I can work out and I'm not going to go into cardiac arrest again. You know, and if I do, I started to trust my ICD. So cardiac rehab really is what gave me my start. So after that, I started going to my local YMCA. I got back on the machines. I started doing some light cardio. I'd jog on the treadmill. I'd ride the bikes. I'd work on the Stairmaster. And I started to lift some free weights, light ones, just to kind of feel like I was working out again. And I'm not going to talk about this in depth, but I changed my diet a little bit, not to a perfect diet, but I ate things in more moderation than I had been, and I started to lose weight, and I started to feel better, and I started to feel like I kind of had a grasp on my, like, exercise and my life again, and everything started to kind of go up from there. I started listening to my body, like I talked about in the beginning. You know, I definitely paid attention to how I was feeling with the different things that I was doing. You know, I obviously was more aware of the symptoms. So, I did that, and 8 years after my cardiac arrest, I kind of felt great about my routine. I was in a great place mentally, physically. And then, I talk about this in another episode, so I'm not going to get into it in depth, but I had my open heart surgery. And when I got out of my open heart surgery, I had to start over. And it was one of the most frustrating times of my life because I remember trying to work out again and feeling so far behind, like I had lost everything. Everything that I had done for 8 years was gone. And I just kind of stuck with it. I slowly got back into it, did some light cardio, did some light lifting. And as time went on, I started to feel better again. That was back in 2015. So I'm going to fast forward to today and kind of give you an idea of what do I do today to exercise. Today, I do a mix of things. I'm a really active guy. I have a Peloton and I love running. And I'm kind of laughing about that because I guess it's kind of like one of those things like, how do you know someone has a Peloton? Well, they'll probably tell you about it. And I just did that. But I do love riding my Peloton. I think it's a great workout. I get my heart rate up. I sweat, but I don't think it's too much. I've gone through phases where I've, run longer distances, a few miles at a time. I love biking outside. I love hiking. I'll lift some light weights. The thing about lifting, and this is how I personally measure my lifting and if I'm doing too much, is I never get myself to a point where I'm in between a rep. Meaning where if I'm going to do 8 reps of something, I get 8 clean reps. I'm never like struggling to press up a rep because in my opinion, that puts a lot of strain on your heart. So I never allow myself to feel that way. But I do lift weights and, I just keep it in moderation. Probably not quite as much as somebody my age, but I've learned that that's okay. I enjoy doing yoga, some core power. So I really diversify and do different types of workouts. And I'm okay doing it. I feel safe doing it. And again, exercise makes me feel really good about myself. So although it's a little different than it was back when I was a 17-year-old or 16-year-old really training, I still get that good feeling inside after a good workout. So, thinking about my life and my journey, which has now been almost 15 years of living with heart disease, here are some of the most important things I've learned about working out that I think, these are definitely things that I think all heart disease patients can apply to their life. And the first one is this. It's about you, and it's not about competing with the person next to you. And this is different than those that have trained for a sport. Because when you train for sport, it's all about competition. And what can you do? What little thing can you do to beat out your opponent? For me now, as a heart disease patient, it's strictly about me. It's not about competing with others. And here's I'll give you a couple examples. My younger brother, John, thankfully does not have HCM. And he was a Division I college basketball player. And him and I work out. And I can't keep up with him. And he's my little brother. And that's totally fine. It doesn't even frustrate me. It's something I understand that I'm not going to be able to lift as much weight as he is. I'm not going to be as fast as he is. But it doesn't matter. Because my workout, whether I'm working out with John or by myself, is about me. It's not about John. One of my close friends, he was actually just featured in the ESPN documentary, which is now on Netflix, The Last Dance, featuring Michael Jordan. One of my friends, Scott Burrell, played on that team and was in the documentary. And we coached together for a bunch of years in college. And Scott's a former NBA player. We used to work out together all the time. Do you think I could keep up with him? No. But I learned to accept, again, it's about me and what I'm getting out of my workout, not about what Scott can do and I can't. So that's one. It's about you, not about competing with the person next to you. Step two, listen to your body. Again, said it in the beginning, said it in the middle, I'm going to say it again. Listen to your body. The symptoms that you might have ignored prior to your diagnosis, you have to keep them in your head. And if you feel something, you have to think about, okay, what made me feel this way? Report it to your doctor. Stop doing the exercise that you're doing. Do what feels good. Do not do what makes you feel crappy. listen to your body. Like any sort of workout routine, you have to stay disciplined and stay consistent. Don't expect to have one workout and just think everything's going to change. Make it a routine, whether it's 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 5 days a week. Stay consistent with it. And over the course of time, the exercise is going to help you. And finally, it's more about how I feel versus how I look. And of course, I want to look good when I look in the mirror and I'm happy with how I look. But exercise to me is more about how it makes me feel. And it makes me feel good. It makes me feel healthy. It makes me feel energized. It makes me feel productive. And those things are really important to me. More important than necessarily what I see when I look in the mirror. So those four things, you know, it's about you. Listen to your body. Stay disciplined and consistent. And it's more about how you feel versus how you look. Are just four things that I've learned throughout my life when it comes to exercise that have helped me. And I think they can apply to your life as well. So again, just to kind of reiterate some of the things I've said in the beginning. Exercise is going to be slightly different for everybody. Not everybody's going to have the same workout routine. Not everybody's going to have the same experience and journey working out that I've had. I wanted to share my personal journey because I think it might be able to help some people. I think some people might be able to kind of take some of the things I've learned and apply it to their life. But don't just overdo it. Don't just jump into it and go crazy. Take your time, believe in the process, and just know that you can work out safely. Of course, there's going to be moderations. Talk to your doctor about it. And again, most importantly, listen to your body. So again, thank you, podcast family, for taking the time to be here to listen to another episode of A Big Heart. I truly appreciate the support. And before we go, I'm going to announce some really cool news that I have for you. On August 1st, I'm going to be releasing a memoir that is also called A Big Heart, and it is all about my journey of living with heart disease. It's going to be available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple Books. There will be digital copies or Kindle copies as well as paperbacks. I don't have links or anything specific yet. You could always visit www.michaelpapali.com/book. That'll have all the updated information. As soon as I have the exact Amazon links, we'll put them in the descriptions of the podcast. You know, I'd obviously appreciate the support. If you know somebody that could benefit from the book, please feel free to let them know. Again, it's similar to this podcast. It's my journey living with heart disease, the obstacles, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the struggles, the successes, everything in between. And I think it will help people. I think people will be able to relate to my story. So I've had four cardiologists and electrophysiologists review the book for medical accuracy, because of course that was the most important thing to me. And I'm really proud of the product. It's something I've been working on for about 4 or 5 years, and I'm really excited to finally release it with a pre-release of August 1, so it will be very discounted. And I'm learning all about this process, but I believe the Kindle version will be the only version available on August 1st. If you want to buy it for a pre-release, it'll be a discounted price, and then the paperbacks will be available starting right on September 1. So again, it's going to be called A Big Heart. It'll be available on Amazon, Apple Books, and Barnes & Noble. So thank you again for listening. I can't wait to be back with you next time. Thank you so much for listening to A Big Heart, a podcast about living with heart disease. If you liked this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Like anything in life, the goal is to improve. Please provide any feedback you have, any topics you want to hear, or any guests that can provide value to our listeners. You can message us on Instagram at A Big Heart Podcast, or send us an email at mike@inaheartbeat.org. To learn more about In a Heartbeat and the programs we provide, please visit www.inaheartbeat.org That is www.naheartbeat.org.